We are very blessed to worship in a beautiful sanctuary Sunday after Sunday. And probably many of us have certain things in the sanctuary that draws our attention, that helps us prepare for worship. You know, just you look around, we have a beautiful Christ candle Spencer lit this morning. My wife noticed we have a new Bible now on the altar table that the children open each Sunday to symbolize the opening of the Word. Of course, we have the altar itself. We have the cross above the choir loft. But there's something in this sanctuary that has drawn my attention these last few months, maybe years, and perhaps it's something a little bit different. It's right over here. It's this door. Now, I was interested to see today whether this door was open or closed. When I entered the sanctuary, it was open, swung in. I think it must have gotten closed maybe after the children's time. Beverly's real good about closing it if it ever gets left open. And I was talking with my sister about this, and interestingly, my sister is an associate minister at a Presbyterian church in Chesapeake, Virginia, and she's also preaching today, so my dad's here, so maybe that means he loves me more, I don't know. But, and you know, Nita does it for a profession. She's used to doing it. It's a little bit different for me. But when I was telling her about sort of my theme I was going to have today, she said, yeah, we have a door that sometimes gets left open, and that kind of bothers me too, so maybe it's a Killebrew thing. I don't know. But it's interesting about this door. Sometimes it gets left open, swung inward toward the sanctuary, and if you've got really good eyesight, you can read the word sanctuary on the door. I guess if we forget where we are, we just glance up there and see that. Sometimes it's open out towards the hall. And there's a lot of good practical reasons that that door gets left open. You know, as people come into the sanctuary from Sunday school, you know, you'll open it and the door will catch sometimes and not close automatically. And of course, when the children come up for children's time, often that's when it's open and we all enjoy seeing them. I appreciated our children's time this morning. But, you know, to me, just a quirk I've got, you know, that's a door that ought to be closed. You know, it's here, we're meeting, just ought to be closed. You know, this one tends to stay closed. Why can't that one be closed? So I was thinking about that door one Sunday. And I sort of started thinking, well, you know, maybe there's more to that door than just it being a door. You know, maybe there's a deeper meaning there. You know, as an English major, I'm supposed to be looking for the deeper meanings in life. So I thought that, and I thought, well, I'm also a Christian, so I'm supposed to be looking for a spiritual meaning here. And so I started thinking about that door as a metaphor for our faith and even for this church itself. And, you know, we have certain Christian symbols that we're used to seeing, you know, the cross, obviously, the ichthus, some other ones. You know, door's probably not one that would come to mind right offhand if we're talking about the different symbols we have. But as I started researching this, there are actually quite a few scripture verses that deal with doors. And I was talking to Ray, and I said, you know, that could be a summer sermon series sometime, Doors of the Bible. And he sort of nodded. I think he went for it, but that's okay. Not as exciting as rivers or mountains or anything like that. But you may have some passages that come to mind, you know, when you think about doors in the Bible, and just a few that I looked up. One is from Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And then we have from Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, a very familiar one. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Later, Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. If you remember that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and the bridegroom came, and so the wise ones went on in, and the foolish ones had to go and buy oil for their lamps. And we get this in chapter 25, verse 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And then one more from Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So not only do we get a lot of scripture verses dealing with doors, sometimes it just comes into our vernacular that we use, you know, as Christians. How many of you ever heard the phrase, when God closes a door, he opens a window, or some variation of that? And then, of course, there's the song, Knocking on Heaven's Door. Well, I guess that's not a Christian song, actually, but you've probably heard that one, too. And if you'll notice the gathering that is in today's hymnal, and Ray actually used this a couple weeks ago as well, and he was telling me that is actually from the old hymnals. Some of you may remember when Hope Coon was pastor, and those words were in that hymnal. And it talks about this church opens wide her doors and offers her welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, her Lord. And of course, in a similar vein, almost every Sunday when he finishes his sermon, Ray will talk about the fact that the doors of the church are open for anyone who would like to join. And I got to thinking about that phrase, and you know, there's a lot of terminology we sometimes use in the church that we immediately know what we're talking about, but possibly could make an outsider scratch their heads a little bit. And that potentially could be one of them. You know, perhaps a visitor would say, well, what do you mean the doors of the church are open? They've got to be open. If they were locked, we couldn't get in. But of course, we have a different meaning when we talk about that. And really, think about what would happen if we literally left the doors to the church open each Sunday. How many of you were here a few years ago when a bird got in the sanctuary? You remember that? I remember it flying around up here, and we were not exactly sure what was going to happen. And I read a column in the Salisbury Post recently that a squirrel got into a Lutheran service over there in Rowan County, and they were watching it, you know, scamper around the altar, not quite sure what to do. Flies, bees could, you know, get in here. That always causes a lot of consternation, particularly if it's a bee. And some of you who have visited third world countries, I've often heard that, you know, the doors of the churches are left open and you never know what might wander in. You know, a dog, a cow, you just never know. So, you know, maybe there's some practical reasons that we do close our doors during the morning. And think about what would happen if we left the doors open. You know, by having them closed, the sound's pretty much confined to what's taking place in here. But if you open the doors, you begin to hear what's going on in the outside world. And so perhaps we might hear a jogger going by or the bark of a dog as somebody walks their dog in the morning. Maybe we hear honks of a car or the sirens of emergency vehicles going to help someone in need. And as you think about all these different scenarios, it's easy to imagine someone out there who needs to hear the good news of the gospel and be welcomed into a Christian fellowship. I also think there can be a temptation to leave the doors closed because we enjoy each other's company. And that's not a bad thing. You know, hopefully we do like each other. Hopefully we appreciate the style of worship we have, the type of music we sing, the liturgy, the responsive readings, so much that makes this our church home, you know, that we appreciate it. And we feel like, you know, 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, this is where we need to be. And if you open the doors to outsiders, then potentially you're talking about change. And dare I say, some of us still maybe are a little uncomfortable if somebody says, amen, or claps in our service, what may be normal other places, still a little bit unusual for us. And so you get this idea, you know, that when you invite people in, change can happen. And maybe that change is good, but it can still sometimes make us feel a little uncomfortable. The scripture that BJ read this morning may sound familiar. That's because Ray used it on Mother's Day, much to my horror. I was already had volunteered to do this and had picked out my scripture passage, and then Ray used the passage I was going to use. I told him I wasn't too happy with him. But I want to come at it from a little bit different perspective than he did. And I want us to look at the doors that we find in this passage today. Now, the first door that we encounter was a prison door. That's the prison door that is keeping Peter confined because of Herod cracking down on the early church. And I don't want to talk too much about that door. I think that's a whole nother sermon about, you know, their prison doors, you know, the things that keep us from fulfilling our potential as Christians, of being the people who God wants us to be. So we get that door. But let's look at the second and third doors that we encounter here in this passage. The second door leads from the prison into the city. And it's interesting to me, in reading this passage, where this angel leads Peter. You know, I think if I had been jailed and people were coming after me and, you know, there was persecution going on, that, you know, it would be very tempting to try to get as far away from there as possible. But that's not what happens here. You know, this angel is going to lead Peter back into the city. Now, some of the commentaries I read said the prison was possibly between the outer wall and the inner wall of the city. And so this gate, you know, may not have actually gone out to the outside. You know, it may have led back into the city. But still, you know, I think if I was Peter, I'd been thinking, okay, how can I get out of here? But he doesn't. The angel leads him, as it says, one street into the city, and then the angel disappears here. And so what is Peter going to find as he heads back into the city? Well, he's going to find fellow believers, as we see later in this passage, but he's also going to find people in need. And so he feels this need to minister to those people, to share with them. And then we come to the third door in this passage, and that's the door that leads in to the home of Mary. Now, those of you that were in Sunday school this morning, we studied about another Mary, Mary Magdalene. Well, this Mary is Mary, the mother of John Mark, of course, who wrote our Gospel of Mark. We read about on some of the missionary journeys, as Ray preached about on Mother's Day. And the believers are gathered in her home. So commentators think she must have had a pretty spacious home. There's some speculation even maybe it was the site of the Last Supper. Don't know that. But a house that was big enough to hold a good number of people. The early church typically met in homes, different places, and so Mary's home was one of those house churches that we find in the early part of the Christian church. And so Peter comes after being freed by the angel from prison, after getting through that prison gate, and he finds a locked door and a disbelieving servant. I love the fact that we have her name, Rhoda. You know, so some of us of a certain age remember the old TV sitcom. So many people in the Bible, you know, are nameless. You know, a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, we studied the Samaritan woman at the well, and we don't know her name. So I like the fact we know that this servant girl is named Rhoda. And think about why the doors would be locked. I know my wife and I sometimes get a little good-natured argument about whether we need to lock the doors in Lexington. You know, certain places maybe. I feel like our driveway, probably not. But she grew up in Charlotte, so maybe that's a little different. But it's understandable why their doors were locked. The church is being persecuted. There is some risk for the believers to be gathered like this, particularly in a large group. You know, the larger of a group you get, the more attention you attract. And so they have the doors locked. But notice what they're doing while they're together. They're praying. They're praying for Peter. I mean, Peter's life is in danger here. You know, some translations say they're fervently praying. So you have a group coming together for a common cause, and that is to pray. I imagine as well they found comfort in being together, just like we do. Here this morning, in our Sunday school classes, in choirs, in other groups, on different committees and whatnot. But you think about it, there definitely had to be some fear for those people. I don't think there's any question. In that climate, They had to be concerned about their safety and well-being. We're very fortunate that we live in a country where we don't have to worry about somebody coming in trying to arrest us because we're worshiping today. But yet, there may be some things that we fear that could possibly cause us to want to proverbially lock the doors, if you will. And again, I think it goes back to that idea of change. You know, sometimes you lock the doors to keep change out, at least to try to do that, because change is change. You just don't know how it's going to end up. You just know things will be different. Like many of you, I attended Dream Night about 3.5 weeks ago, where we brainstormed some of the things that we would like to see happen in this church as we begin searching for a new associate minister. A lot of the ideas from the group that I was a member of talked about needing to attract new members, needing to attract younger members, not only to the church in general, but to the choir came up specifically, to our children's and youth ministries, to Sunday school, and all the different things that we do in this church. And it was very striking to me on Senior Adult Sunday when we were sort of asked to stand up by age group, how few people stood up at those younger age groups. This is something that really concerns me, and I know our church is not unusual in that. You know, many mainline churches are dealing with, you know, aging congregations. You know, and what do you do to try to draw in new people? But you bring those new people in, things can change. So it's something I think we have to wrestle with a little bit. We have to consider. We have to think about how do we respond to new ideas, to new people who may come in. And what would people find if they walked through these doors? I believe they would find a place to worship. They would find a place to study the Bible, to share fellowship with like-minded believers. I think they could find areas of service and involvement tailored to their gifts. And interestingly, I think they would discover people who walk out of these doors each Sunday to be church out in the community. You know, every once in a while, we sort of stop and take stock of the various ways that we all go out into the community and minister. And think about that for a moment. Think about the number of nonprofit organizations in Lexington and Davidson County that benefit from the members of this church. Think about the nonprofits that grew out of ministries in this church. We take meals to those in need. We visit them in their homes, the hospital, nursing homes, wherever they may be. We mentor children who are in need of role models, or we build ramps for those who have mobility issues. We take seriously Jesus' admonition to minister to those in need. So that door swings both ways. It swings inward to allow people to come in and worship and participate in this church's activities, but it also swings outward to allow us to go out and to minister in this community, to share Jesus' love. Notice how the scripture passage that we read today reads. Peter, once he finally convinces them to let him in, shares a moment with the believers. I wish we knew a little bit more, you know, what he said, what that reaction was like. I'm sure it was very joyous. I'm sure they had a lot of questions, a lot of amazement at what happened. Peter gives them a word, tells them to, you know, talk to James and the brethren. And then verse 17 ends, "Then he left and went to another place." The Bible doesn't tell us where he was going or why. But as we continue reading in Acts, we see Peter's role in the early church, the leadership that he had in spreading the gospel. So Peter didn't leave and go hide. He didn't try to, you know, be like Jonah and escape somewhere else. You know, I'm sure he went out and continued his ministry. I mean, we know that from what we read in Acts. And it, you know, probably was tempting for Peter to stay in Mary's house. These are his people. You know, that may have been his church. You know, that may have been the church that he participated in. But he didn't do that. He knew that God had other plans that he had to carry out. So as much as he enjoyed those people, as much as he liked their company, he's free now. He continues. He goes back out. So I've decided that maybe the lesson for me when I see this door left open is maybe that's my invitation to go out into the world and share my faith, both in the way I live my life and the direct actions that I take to show Jesus' love to other people. I confess that's not always easy. You know, as somebody who works with the public, there are definitely people that push my buttons. Y'all, some of y'all know where I'm coming from on that. But I think it's fair to say that everybody who we come in contact with needs the love of God in their life. Whether that happens within these walls in this sanctuary, or whether that happens out in the community where they are, where they're dealing with life. And if we come across people who we can invite to walk through these doors and join us in this fellowship, all the better. In the big picture, I've decided it really doesn't matter whether this door is open or closed. But what does matter is the worship that takes place here and the ministry that occurs out in the community when we leave this place. May we all be found faithful in truly welcoming people through the doors of this church to share in our Christian faith and mission. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to take seriously your word where you tell us to go out and share your love and to minister to those in need. It is a hurting world, Lord. Open our eyes to the needs of those around us. And I do pray for this church, Lord. It's a critical time in our life, and I just pray that you will lead us and guide us. May we sense your will moving forward. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing our last hymn now, which is number 638. And hopefully...